What a joy it is for us to be able to worship the Lord on Christmas Day. This is such a great opportunity, and I'm so glad that you were able to come and be a part of our time together. And also to those who have joined us online this morning, we're so glad that you've participated in Christmas morning worship. Well, I know we have the boys and girls, kids with us in here today, and let me ask a question to the kids to begin with. Did you all get to open presents before coming to church today? Okay, all right. Well, we planned it at 11 o'clock just to try to make sure that everybody had time for presents. That's an important tradition, right? Now, as you think about the gifts that you've received through the years, I'm talking not just to the kids, but also to the adults. I want to ask you if you've received any of the gifts that I found in a list that said that these are the top gifts that were given. Now, we're going back a few years on some of these. And some of these gifts are timeless, and some I don't think were timeless. I'll just say it that way. So let me just give a few of them. And if you happen to receive one of these on Christmas morning, would you just raise your hand? Did anybody ever receive a Slinky? Okay, all right. That was a top gift. Should I give the year? Maybe not. Okay, all right. How about a Mr. Potato Head? Anybody get one of those? All right, all right. That's still in the 1950s. I'll move up a little bit. How about a Rubik's Cube? Anybody get one of those? Now, that one, I'm seeing a lot of different ages. That actually came out in 1980, but that's probably one that's a little more timeless. Okay. What about a Tickle Me Elmo doll? Okay. All right. A couple. Arguably not a timeless gift then, right? One more. How about an iPod? Did you know that was 20 years ago? Does that seem crazy? Yeah, a lot of different gifts, and I'm not even sure what might have been the popular one for 2022. Maybe that'll still be determined. But one thing is for sure, all of these gifts, maybe they're good gifts. Maybe some of them are timeless, but you know they're not eternal. They may fit a need for a time. They may give happiness for a moment, but eternally, there is one gift. And Stephanie mentioned that at the very beginning of our service, and that is the gift that comes in Jesus Christ when we receive the grace that he gives. It was Paul that described it in 2 Corinthians 9 like this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I tell you, on Christmas morning, for us to be thinking about gifts and giving gifts, for us to reflect upon that greatest gift. And of course, that's the reason why we've gathered to worship. We come to worship the Lord Jesus, and we are mindful of the grace that we have received in him. In fact, when we think about the grace of God, it isn't one of those gifts that's given just one time. It's grace that is given over and over again. In fact, we're going to see that in John chapter 1. We've been in the first chapter of John throughout the Advent season. We're going to pick back up in verse 16 and consider just a few verses this morning. John chapter 1, verse 16. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him. And so throughout the Advent season, we have been thinking about glory revealed. We have been thinking about all the different aspects of how God made himself known to this world. And to think what that has meant for us to be able to know him, to receive the grace and the salvation that comes through Christ. Well, this morning we have just 2 points in the outline. Let me give those to you as we begin. The first one is this: in Jesus, grace is received. And the second point is, in Jesus, glory is revealed. And I know some of you are thinking, wait a minute, a sermon with only 2 points. And I just want to say Merry Christmas, right? A short sermon. Now, Christmas doesn't fall on a Sunday very often, so I got to do my part. So we'll keep it a little shorter today. But here's the first one. In Jesus, grace is received. And if you look at verse 16, there is a wonderful description of God's grace. Here's what it says: grace upon grace. I heard years ago a commentator say that this almost brings to mind the crashing of waves. That you have one wave come, and then another, just one after the other, the grace of God coming time and time and time again. And I don't know what the year has been like for you. In fact, I don't know what the last few days have been like for you. But maybe there are some here within this place that are needing the grace of God to be felt one more time. And you know, that's the kind of grace he gives. He gives it over and over and over again. In fact, when you think about the idea of grace crashing like a wave, you know, you could go to a place by the sea and you could experience the crashing of a wave. And you could go somewhere and you could come back 20 minutes later, and what would be happening? Waves would still be crashing. Or in fact, you could go away and come back 10 years later or 20 years later, and what would be happening? Continue to coming, one after the other. In fact, you could probably stand at a point next to the sea and reflect back of how many other people through the years have stood at that place and received that same experience of seeing a wave crash. Well, that's what the grace of God is all about. There's an endless supply. It comes over and over again, not only in our lifetime, but even throughout the ages. In fact, if you've been reading along in our Advent cards, day 22 describes the grace of God that has been demonstrated throughout all time. In fact, even going back into the Old Testament, we see the account of Adam and Eve, and we think of their sin, but do we also see that there's grace there? They were allowed to live. They were allowed to continue. We look at it accounts like Noah and his family also being saved from God's judgment. But it's in Jesus Christ that we see the ultimate expression of God's grace. And that's why I think verse 16 describes it as grace upon grace from his fullness. It's an overflowing grace. It's a victorious grace. Let me give you a cross-reference from Romans chapter 5. It says this about grace. But where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting, listen to this, in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know that there's all kinds of bad news out there. And I think that Romans 5 is speaking of some bad news, but it also is speaking of good news, better news, the idea that grace is multiplied even more, or that grace will reign. You see, the same Lord whose birthday we celebrate today is the same one who would ultimately defeat death. He would defeat the grave. He would give us hope for this life and the life to come. It's all through his grace that is multiplied over and over and over again. I read some time ago about a young boy who grew up in the 1700s, and his mother was a follower of Christ and would teach him God's word, and they would recount scripture verses together. But unfortunately, when he was 6 years old, she passed away. And so he lived some with his dad, and then he lived some with some relatives. Before long, he was living in a boarding school, and he had a very, very difficult childhood. He finally decided he would join the Royal Navy, and while in the Navy, his life went downhill. He got in with the wrong group, the wrong crowd. He started living in a wild way. It was in fights and all kinds of mischief. He eventually deserted the Navy. He went to Africa, and he used his naval skills by working, unfortunately, for a slave trader from Portugal. His life at this point had reached its lowest point. He was living in terrible conditions. He was eating some of his meals right off of the floor of the ship. And he fled again, and he left this boat, and he went to another, and it was another slave trader that he was working for, and his life just continued to go downhill. In fact, there's an account of him at one time going into the captain's area and stealing whiskey and drinking and drinking and drinking so much that he fell overboard off the ship. And when the shipmates saw that he was out and that he was about to drown, one of them took a harpoon and shot him in the leg and pulled him back to the ship. And he did survive, though he did have a scar on his leg for the rest of his life. You wouldn't think that his life could get much lower. But then one night, while he was in the midst of a great storm off the coast of Scotland, he began to reflect. And he began to remember some of what he heard as a child. And God was bringing to his mind some Bible verses. And it was at that point that he placed his faith in Jesus Christ, and his life would never be the same because of the grace of God. In fact, he would later pen these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." You see, this young man, John Newton, was a recipient of God's amazing grace. And from that point forward, what did he do? He extended the grace of God as he could to those around him. That for us this morning is a reminder of being in Christ and receiving from Christ this grace that gives us opportunity to have new life. Maybe for some, it's a new start, it's a new beginning. It's an opportunity to see that God has a way forward from where we are today. But there's something about this grace that's mentioned in verse 16. Look with me again. It says, "Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace." Think about that for a moment. It's not just a matter of acknowledging that God is gracious or that Jesus has grace. It's a matter of doing what? Receiving it. It is a gift that must be received. And I pray that today, as we think of God's grace, that this would be a gift that each of us has received. And if not, could you think of a better day than Christmas morning than to receive the grace of God? And to remember back that it was Christmas Day 2022 that you found Christ as Savior and received his gift of salvation and eternal life. That may be for you this morning a message and a gift to receive. Just know that grace reaches you wherever you are. If grace could reach John Newton and all that he was involved in and all that he was a part of, just ask yourself, could God reach any of us? And the answer, of course, is yes. Let's keep reading. We see, first of all, that in Jesus, grace is received. Secondly, we see that in Jesus, glory is revealed. And we see that that's described here in verses 17 and 18. It says, "The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him." And so it's in Christ that we see God revealed. We see the attributes. We see the glory of God revealed before us. Now, I know that the word glory isn't found there in verses 17 and 18, but if you were with us last night or yesterday afternoon, you remember verse 14 speaks of the glory of God. It says in verse 14, "We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father." And look at that. Think about this phrase here, "full of grace and truth." Grace and truth is a description of the glory of God. Grace and truth, the fullness which Christ offers to each of us, is what is needed. We see it in verse 17. We see it in verse 14. And what John is doing is he's drawing the reader back to the Old Testament book of Exodus, because it was there that Moses had a request of God. Do you remember what Moses asked for? In Exodus 33, verse 18, it says, "Moses said, please let me see your glory." He wanted to see the glory of God. Now, the next chapter over, in part, God's glory was revealed to him. And here's how it's described in verse 6. "The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth.'" And what we see here is a declaration of the character of God. Many of his attributes right there in verse 6 being described. So the answer to his request to see God's glory was to see love and truth presented to him in a very powerful way, we might add. Now, the pairing of these words is found over and over, love and truth. Faithful covenant, hesed love is what is being described here alongside with the truth of God. And so here we are in the first chapter of John, and John the disciple is pulling up nearly the same pattern of words, the same word combination. He's writing about grace and truth. And of course, we saw this last night, that Christ brought grace and truth, not one or the other, but both. Let me ask you, do you see that the world around us today is in need of both grace and truth? We can see that there is a hunger, there is a desire, there is a need for folks to receive the grace of God, the compassion of God. But also we see a need for truth, that bellwether standard that God has given for us to know how to live for Him, to have the conviction that comes alongside that compassion. You see, if the message is all grace, then there is no truth. But if it's all truth, then there is no grace. But Jesus embodies both, and that is the glory of God that is revealed through Christ. If you look back at the passage in John 1, this glory, this grace, this truth, it says it's only revealed in Jesus. There in verse 18, it says, the one and only Son, the one and only Son. This is the only place to find the grace and truth of God. It's by coming and receiving it from Christ. In fact, it's the same word that's used in verse 14 when it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed His glory, the glory as, there it is, the one and only Son from the Father, the one and only. That's the birth that we've come to celebrate, the birth of the one and only Son of God. And that is the way, of course, to receive not only His grace, but also His truth. Again, we live in a time that desperately needs to see the truth and grace of God, to experience the glory of God that has been given through Christ. All of that is evident as we look at the world around us. I read this year that one of the dictionaries, Merriam-Webster, selected one word to be their word of the year. They said that it was looked at so many times, this must be the word of the year from their perspective. And what is that word? Gaslighting. Yeah, have you used that in a sentence lately? Gaslighting. Here's what it means. The act or practice of misleading someone, especially for one's own advantage. It is psychological manipulation of a person, usually over an extended period of time, that causes the victim to question the validity of their own thoughts or their perception of reality. It's an interesting word. If you go back, it really didn't just come this year. It goes back to a TV show or a drama way back in the earlier part of the 1900s. But it was the idea that one is trying to trick someone else. One is trying to distort really what is reality from someone else. And so this is a word that is increased by 1,740%, according to Merriam-Webster online this last year. But the British have also come up with their word of the year. And this time it's the Collins Dictionary. And they selected what they call a word that is perma-crisis. Have you heard of the word perma-crisis? Maybe if we're in England, maybe we would hear more of it, but it was intriguing to me. Perma-crisis is an extended period of instability and insecurity, especially resulting from a series of catastrophic events. And they go on to explain that it's the feeling that one has when lurching from one unprecedented event to another and then wondering what new horror might be around the corner. Yeah, Merry Christmas, right? What a great word to think about. Perma-crisis. Well, if those are the words that the people of today are looking at, if these are the thoughts that people are leaning into to try to understand, one relating to truth, the other, I think, relating to grace. And I think the need that we see in this world is certainly found. The solution is found in Jesus Christ. A world that's trying to endure one crisis after another is certainly in need of the grace of Jesus Christ. This grace that's been described as grace upon grace, one after the other. Maybe today there are some that need to be reminded of God's grace, to receive it, to hold on to it, and to also know that He brings truth in an age in which there is all kinds of deception or confusion, to know that turning to Christ is a rock-solid foundation upon which one can build his or her life. So I invite you today to think. Think about this one who was born. Think about this one who was celebrated not only at the time of his birth there at the manger, but throughout his life, recognized as the Son of God, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. Let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a holiday like Christmas. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to reflect upon not only the birth, but also the life of our Savior Jesus. And God, we pray for anyone that is here today that is in need of an extra special touch of your grace. God, would you remind them that your grace is a gift that you give over and over and over again. So Lord, may we receive today from you, even as we give to you and offer you words of praise and songs of adoration. May we also recognize that we are dependent upon you. We need your grace and we need your truth. So Father, would you secure us today in you? And would you hear today our words of thanksgiving for sending the one and only Son, Jesus Christ. For we pray this in his name. Amen.